Chapter 25. Virginia. Oligarchs. And immediate cessation of federal tax shelter provisions for unionized labor, guilds, and other collectives deleterious to the will of the free market. This brings us to Proposal 6.3. Senator Britannia Ag Krieg has period marks for eyes, and a widow's peak that could chip ice for my nightly bourbon. Chief negotiator for the Zenith Ring, the Silver's Common Interest Federation, Krieg stands in the centre hollow of their halo table, located within Sun Industries' Zenith Spire. Stained by big city lights, the clouds form a carpet far beneath the spire. At 15 unnecessary kilometres in height, it is the tallest building in all Hyperion, dwarfing the memory of the old society military headquarters. Another apt metaphor for its creator, as well as our time. There are no senators present save Britannia. The kept pets are sequestered downstairs, awaiting the orders of their true masters. 33 silver trillionaires of the Zenith Ring sip tea from Ionian porcelain, in smug satisfaction that they don't visit the sovereign. She visits them. Heralding from asteroids, planets, moons, and deep space trade stations, they share only four common virtues: their colour, their religious conviction in the definition of the free market, not that they mind the government being their chief customer, their obsession with individual autonomy, and their determination to act at all times like complete assholes. Not one of the oligarchs, save Quicksilver, was rich before the war. Now they represent the machine of war. Drakenjäger factories, shipyards, textiles, pharmaceuticals, rubber plants, shipping interests, silicon products. Without their companies, which I admit they did build against intense competition, we'd fight with sticks and stones. Quicksilver, the lone quadrillionaire, doesn't bother sitting at a place of prestige. He's off to the far right of the asteroid diamond table, sandwiched between a munition supplier and the asteroid mining magnate, who donated the table and deducted it from his taxes. The slump-shouldered, ham-fisted titan of industry doesn't look like the man who, along with Fitchner, engineered the destruction of the society. He is more concerned with the sugar in his tea than Senator Krieg's outrageous demands. He knows he'll get what he wants. Because I don't want to fight with sticks and stones. Because I need their silver votes. Because without his helium, the ships he builds us will sputter and die. Even the eerie silver orb robot that floats ever-present over his shoulder couldn't make him aware of my promise to Publius. If he knew, he'd be beating me in private with verbal uppercuts and haymakers. He has been an enigma of late, his demands increasingly peculiar and opaque, which leads me to consider the possibility that he knows something I don't. I interrupt Krieg's soliloquy to gesture behind her. What the devil is that? The artwork beyond the ring table is a 15-meter-tall vanity of unrefined metal, morphed into a shape roughly mimicking a winged heel. Britannia looks back at it in irritation. That is the dawn of Hermes, sculpted from fused Oort cloud dust by the master maker Glerastes of Mercury. The Honourable Regulus Argsoon acquired it 2 years ago at an Aphian guild auction for a record purchase price of 94 billion credits, roughly the cost of two destroyers, or enough food to feed the Sumerian assimilation camps for 46 and a half months. The industrialists clatter their teaspoons on their teacups in salute. Krieg continues her ransom demands. It is not the first time I've wished for her to be infected by the agonizing intrusion of a parasitic organism. I should have introduced her to my brother when I had the chance. By the sound of Nakamura's shifting armor behind me, I can tell she agrees. A middling account executive for Silicon Goods before the Rising, Senator Krieg made her fortune negotiating buyouts of liberated mines from Red Clans for Sun Industries during Quicksilver's mad dash to buy up the majority of the H3 market. What I released from my family's holding to Reds, he purchased not 2 months later. The Reds were properly represented by the white guilds and chose gross proceeds instead of a one-time buyout. The contracts were thorough. It was all perfectly legal. But so is murder during wartime. Who possibly could have expected there to be no gross proceeds, because the immensely rich helium mine still, according to the books, operate at a net loss? Me, namely. But the Reds, like everyone else in our society, suspected I acted in self-interest, and thus paid no heed to my warnings. Resetting automation limits to their former levels, and concluding with an elimination of Senator Caravelle's flesh and bone quotas. Her words devolve into a faint buzzing, and I yawn as she progresses to the last demands before finally reaching her denouement. An oral agreement will suffice for now, but amendments must be placed on the bill before the vote. Not all, naturally. We don't want to kill it, but certain provisions so that we can feel comfortable moving forward in good faith. These are our recommendations. The teacups tinkle, and the industrialists sit back in smug satisfaction to wait for my usual reluctant agreement. But I've been saving up my chips. I uncross my legs and put my boots up on the table. Quicksilver sees and tilts his head in interest. I extend a hand backward. Nakamura hands me my apple. I strip small pieces away with my boot knife and watch the silvers as I eat. Quicksilver chuckles to himself and waits in good nature for me to conclude the show. They look so smug. And why not? They've always gotten what they want from me, because it was cheaper to agree with them than to teach them. And they are good at what they do. Staggeringly efficient. Inventive. Ambitious and productive. But ancient Celts didn't invent spurs because horses are obedient. When the apple is little but core, I toss it on the table. I extend my hand back to Holiday again. She hands me ear caps. I insert them and reach back one last time. Now she hands me her anti-tank rail rifle. My answer to your proposal. Spitting an apple seed out of my mouth, I stand, shoulder the gun, take aim over the oligarchs, and fire around into the dawn of Hermes. They dive to the floor in terror. The magnetically propelled uranium round carves a trail of blue friction flames over their heads, setting the hair of Senator Krieg on fire, and hits the statue with the force of a Pilum missile. The oligarchs hold their wailing ears and peek out from behind the table. Smoke twirls through the hole blasted in the back of the room. The statue is in ruins. I admire the gun and toss it back to Nakamura. I take off my ear caps to dead silence. You just bankrupted 3 insurance companies, Quicksilver says, stirring the dust into his tea before taking a sip. One of the silvers clutches his cravat and, ears deafened by the report of the gun, shrieks in angst. Apologies, Bartus, Quicksilver says. I told you, you should have split the liability. The 49-year-old human male is temporarily experiencing reduced auditory function of 90%, Quicksilver's sentinel robot explains. Oh, remind me to tell him later. Yes, Master. Of the 33 industrialists, Quicksilver alone did not move. The moment the gun touched my hand, the air distorted around him, bending the flames away. Sound also seems not to have penetrated. Curious technology. Did it come from his sentinel drone? I can't tell. It drifts above his head like a pendulum, emitting arcane high-pitched frequencies. Interesting. Holiday tracks it like a scout, no doubt wondering how best to kill it and how many ways it could kill her. She better be using that sensor packet she brought. I like mysteries even less than bad breath. It is time to address the room. My good men, I repeat 4 times until I have their attention. Today is not a day for extortion. Today is the day for patriots. You should ask what you can do for our distressed republic. Instead, you present it with demands. Instead of rallying votes to help your comrades, you jockey for gain. I look at Quicksilver, I asked for a private meeting, and he ambushed me with this, as I knew he would. For too long he's been distracted, cantankerous, as if his coronation were on the horizon and all this was merely an inconvenience. He's working on something. Some project even with all my spies I am unable to identify. We don't have time for pet projects. What hesitation I had is now gone. The deck must be reshuffled. I soften my tone for him. There was a time when two good men stood against tyranny. Fitchner Al Barker, and you. Where did that man go? He doesn't care to answer. Give them the recording, so I know they all heard me, I tell Nakamura. I turn back to Quicksilver. My answer to your extortion is no. My counteroffer is this. You have 5 seconds to tell your senators downstairs they will vote with me. Or what? Quicksilver asks, as if I am still the aspiring politico he knew 12 years ago. I am not. She had better legs, but far less menace. Or I punish you in proportion to your ransom, I say. You are being intractable for some inscrutable reason, so you will be spanked. Oh dear. How? Will you shoot more of my belongings? Have Severo drop the ceiling and castrate Daedalus over there? A handsome young silver caught dinging in his ear regained his hearing at just the wrong time. He pales and looks at the ceiling. What did I do? I make condensed proteins. Grow up, Virginia. These antics of your family have grown tiresome. Quicksilver jabs a finger into the table. This is how the world works. Quid pro quo. I nod to Nakamura. She starts counting. 5, 4. Ridiculous theatrics. Quicksilver strokes that gold eyeball ring of his. Mateo isn't even this dramatic. 3, 2, 1. I walk toward the door. Remember, we built this republic, Quicksilver calls after me. Us, not you. His voice spikes sharply toward anger. Virginia, don't be a fool. Come back and be reasonable. You need us. That's what you fail to understand, I say at the door. There's no scarcity principle at play here, good man. You taught me better than anyone. Where there's a need, a silver will always appear. Doesn't have to be you. I toss the ear caps across the room. They land in Quicksilver's teacup. Your votes, good men. If not for the Republic, for yourselves. I leave. Holiday smiles as we enter my shuttle. Did you enjoy that, ma'am? She asks. Far too much. Will Seffi strike before the vote? I doubt it. We've gained half the silvers today, but in a month they'll all come begging. I look at my data pad and glower. To Sunhall. Looks like the goblin has made a new mess.